uncomfortable, but Jesus could cure a man who had leprosy. He told him to stretch out his hand, and instantly the leprosy was gone. Jesus did many miracles, and we can read about them. Now you can say, well, I don't believe them. By the way, how can anybody walk on water? Jesus did. And the Bible tells us about it. But the greatest miracle of all is this. They crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose from the dead. Listen, it's true. And there are many witnesses that proclaim that. Now listen to what he says here, that John gets through the end of writing his gospel. And we find in John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because, I'm sorry, I'm not there yet, but listen to this. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet have believed. Listen, I've never seen Jesus, but I believe that he's real. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. Blessed are they that have not seen me yet have believed. And many other signs. I'm sorry, I was where I thought I was supposed to be. John says this, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in these, which is not written in this book, but these are written. Listen, this is why they're written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Listen, you read the book of John. If you're here and you're unsaved, I encourage you to read the Bible. And I would start in the book of John. And he gets to the end of his gospel and he says, many other miracles or signs truly did Jesus, which are not written. But these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you might have eternal life through his name. So the first thing I want to encourage you today is that you would believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I want us to see is this. You need to receive him. You see, the Bible says that eternal life is the gift of God. How do you get a gift? Listen, if I worked for something, then it's earned, correct? But if you receive a gift, you don't earn it, do you? Otherwise, it's not a gift. Jesus said that you need to receive him. In John chapter 1, let me turn there if you're close to it. In the Gospel of John, John chapter 1 and verse 10, he says this, speaking of Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Boy, I hope that's not true of us, that we wouldn't receive him. Listen to what it says in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So right there we see it. We need to believe and we need to receive him as our Savior. We need to receive the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ, because he is salvation. You need to receive him into your heart and into your life in order to be saved. In Matthew 10, verse 40, he says, he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. You see, Jesus and God are one and the same. We've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, if you receive me, you receive the Father. Why should we receive him? Because he died in your place for your sins. You see, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is one of the first fundamental things that we need to admit. We're sinners. The Bible says if we say that we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves. Listen, don't be deceived. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And the Bible says if we sin, we deserve punishment. And the punishment is separation from God forever and ever. But the good news is this. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he," speaking of God, "hath made him," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive God's righteousness because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. He gave his life. You need to believe in him. You need to receive him. Now, how do you do that? Simply by faith. These are familiar verses to many of us, but to some of you it might not be. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you can't see him, but he's real. He walked upon the face of this earth many, many years ago. And there are many witnesses that did see him. And they wrote in the Bible, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the words of God for us. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." See, we didn't work for it. It's not something we earned. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, there are all kinds of religions out there. And they would teach you, you've got to do certain things in order to get to heaven, or in order to be saved. The Bible says you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you need to receive him as your Savior. And the last thing I want us to see is this, and I think we often miss this. Jesus said we are to follow. We're to follow him. You know, there's a parable of the sower talking about the seed that was planted. Some fell among stony ground, some fell among the wayside, some fell among the thorns and so forth. But there was some seed, speaking of parallel to the Word of God, that fell among good ground. And what happened to the seed that fell among good ground? It sprang up, it grew, and it brought forth fruit. Jesus says, "Bring forth fruit, meet for repentance." Listen, if you believe and you receive, and it is genuine faith, then you'll follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be fruit in your life to prove that you are truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple things. We started with Ephesians 2:8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained," listen, "that we should walk in them." Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Luke 9:23, "And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." John 10:27 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." And what do? They follow me. I want you to just look at John chapter 2 and verse 23. John chapter 2. We need to believe, we need to receive, we need to follow. And I'm not talking about a work salvation. I'm saying that if you're truly a believer, if you truly receive Jesus Christ, you follow him. James warns us about those that falsely believe. He says the devils believe and tremble. They know who Jesus is. They believe in him. You better believe they believe in him. But they're not saved. In John chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. I knew something special about this man. He was a God man. They saw the miracles he did and they believed in him. Verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. That's interesting. Because he knew all men. What did he know about them? They didn't have genuine faith. Well, they believed in him, but they weren't saved. He says this in verse 25, and needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Listen, I can look out at a crowd here this morning and say, oh yeah, so-and-so saved. I don't know that. I don't know your heart. How do I know if you're saved or not? The only thing I can look at is your life, your testimony, your fruit, if you will. Jesus seen the heart. Well, they believed, but they weren't saved. And Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew exactly what was in their heart and life. Listen, you can't fool God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as your personal Savior, and if you repent, you have a change of heart in your life, you will want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not be perfect. God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he expects us to be changing. He expects us to follow him and his voice. I'll give you another verse. Let's look to John chapter 6 and verse 63. John 6:63. It says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Listen, I could say that this morning because I'm reading from you God's word. And Jesus was saying that here, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are lying. Look what verse 64 says. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Then he says in verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walk no more with him. Listen, be careful. Somebody once said it this way. Some people miss heaven by 12 inches, I think they said. They've got it up here, but they don't have it in here. Listen, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him as your gift of salvation. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth and the life, no man can come unto the Father but by him. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to save your soul. And you need to believe in him, you need to receive him, and you need to follow him. Psalm 95, verse 7, you don't need to turn there. I'm going to read a few verses. He says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, listen to what he says. Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Oh, beloved, listen, don't miss entering into the rest of the Lord by hardening your heart. People still do that today. As I read in Hebrews 3 times, Jesus, the Word of God says, harden not your heart. Listen, there are people that will harden their heart and they will refuse to believe. They'll refuse to receive. They'll refuse to follow. These folks here, some of his disciples, a hard saying. They said they went back and they walked no more with him. Listen, if you're truly saved, you'll continue on loving God and serving God. You may not be perfect. You may struggle. I love this verse, John 8:36. You probably heard it before. It says, if the Son therefore shall make you free. Listen, we're free today because of our veterans. We're free to assemble. We've got a lot of freedoms here in the United States of America, do we not, that other countries don't have. And we wouldn't have if it weren't for many of you. But this verse says this, if the Son, speaking of Jesus Christ, therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Truly free. Listen, there's nothing like being free from your sin. There's nothing like being free from death and the curse of sin in our lives. Listen, if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be free from sin and from death. And you have an eternal home in heaven. That's our final resting place. Amen. I trust today you'll hear his voice and you'll not harden your heart, but you'll put your faith and trust in the one who loves you and gave his life for you so that you could be free from sin and death. And you'll have an eternal abode in heaven. That's the way home, my friend. I trust you'll receive him. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. The pianist is going to play. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like to give you an invitation today. Listen, you're here today. You heard God's word. I believe the Spirit of God is calling and working in hearts and lives today. I pray that any believer here today would be praying and asking God to work in hearts and lives. Listen, don't harden your heart. But give your life, give your heart. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him, receive Him, and follow Him. And you'll have an eternal home in heaven. How many would say here this morning, Pastor Terry, I've already put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying with God's grace and with God's help to follow Him. Would you raise your hand and testify to that? Amen. You may put your hands down. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, I've hardened my heart, or I've never heard this before. I want to change my heart. I want to change my mind. I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me that I would do that? Would you raise your hand this morning if God's working on your heart? Listen, I won't embarrass you. I will not point you out. You can talk to me after the service or other people you could talk to. If you'd like to come up front and speak with me, you can. I can speak with you privately. But would anybody raise their hand today and say, Pastor Terry, I needed this. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that today? I'll pray for you. Listen, don't harden your heart. Anybody at all? Just simply raise your hand and put it back down again. I won't call out your name. I won't embarrass you. I'll pray for you. I'll look to see who you are. I'll try to meet with you afterwards if you'd like me to. There'll be no pressure. Listen, God has to do the work in your heart and life. But He said that His Son, Jesus, is the way to heaven. You must receive Him. I'll ask one last time. Anybody at all here say, pray for me. Raise your hand. All right. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life so that we could have an eternal home in heaven. Father, thank you again for our veterans who have served in our United States military. and sacrificed much so that we could have freedoms today. There's some here today because they gave their life. Father, we're so thankful that you had our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ give his life so that we could be free from sin and death. And Father, we thank you for that all. Bless the remainder time that we have together today. Continue to speak to hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to close with a song. Seth's going to lead that. If you're one of our veterans today, would you go ahead and line up out in a foyer? As we sing the song, we'll greet you on the way out. If you need a ride, they'll have a bus to take you right up to the A-frame. All our veterans and their families, we'd like to invite them up for a meal. And any seniors in our church that would like to join us, we've got plenty of food. We also got some gifts for our veterans up there. And again, thank you so much for coming today.
638 in your hymnals. 638, let's all stand together and we'll be dismissed. 638.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword, oh, how our hearts beat high with joy. Glorious word, faith of our Father's holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
On the last,
faith of